Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Yuval Levin's The Great Debate, Edmund Burke, Thomas Paine. And the Birth of Right and Left is a work of political history and political philosophy that explains how a foundational argument from the age of the French Revolution still shapes modern ideological conflict. Rather than treating left and right as simple labels for policy preferences, Levin traces them to two enduring ways of thinking about social change, authority, and human knowledge. Burke represents an approach grounded in tradition, inherited institutions, and gradual reform shaped by experience. Paine represents an approach grounded in abstract principles, universal equality, and the conviction that political order can be redesigned through reason. The book is not just a comparison of two famous thinkers. It uses their dispute to show why modern politics so often turns on questions of method, whether society should be improved incrementally through existing structures or remade according to a clearer moral design. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Burke and Paine as the intellectual origin of the modern left-right divide. Levin's central claim is that the modern split between right and left can be traced to the arguments of Edmund Burke and Thomas Paine during the French Revolutionary era. This is important because it reframes partisan politics as more than a disagreement over specific policies. Instead, the book presents the divide as a clash between two durable political instincts. Burke stands for caution, continuity, and respect for the accumulated wisdom embedded in institutions. Paine stands for egalitarian reform, universal rights, and the belief that inherited arrangements deserve revision when they fail to meet reasoned standards of justice. By locating the roots of contemporary politics in this debate, Levin gives readers a historical explanation for why similar conflicts recur across different eras and issues. The book does not claim that today's parties are identical to these thinkers, but it argues that the deeper pattern of disagreement remains recognizable. That makes the book useful as a guide to the structure of ideological conflict rather than just a history of two individuals. Secondly, different theories of knowledge shape different political styles. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is that Burke and Paine differ not only in goals, but in how they believe political knowledge is acquired. Burke trusts implicit knowledge, historical precedent, and the practical wisdom accumulated in institutions over time. In his view, social order contains lessons that are not always fully visible in abstract theory, so reform should proceed with humility and caution. Paine, by contrast, relies on explicit reasoning and universal principles that can be stated clearly and applied directly. This difference matters because it explains why both men can sound morally serious while advocating very different approaches to the same problems. Levin uses this contrast to show that political conflict often involves disagreements about what counts as evidence, what kinds of reasoning are legitimate, and how much confidence reason should have in redesigning society. The book's argument is therefore epistemic as well as ideological. It suggests that the struggle between conservatism and radical reform is partly a struggle between two ways of understanding human limits and political truth. Thirdly, means versus ends, the real political question is how change should happen. Levin emphasizes that politics is not only about what outcomes are desirable, but about how those outcomes should be pursued. This means versus ends framework is one of the book's most practical contributions. Burke and Paine can both speak the language of justice, liberty, and human improvement, but they diverge sharply on the methods they consider legitimate. Burke's preference for gradual reform assumes that social institutions can be improved without being uprooted, and that preserving continuity often protects important goods people do not notice until they are lost. Paine's preference for bold reconstruction assumes that entrenched structures may preserve injustice, and that moral clarity sometimes requires decisive action. Levin shows that these are not merely tactical disagreements. They reflect different judgments about human institutions, social stability, and the risks of political power. For readers, this helps clarify why debates over reform so often become polarized. The book encourages asking whether a proposal is not only admirable in principle, but workable in method, and whether it strengthens or weakens the civic structures that sustain political life. Fourthly, the book explains why Burke and Paine remain relevant to contemporary politics. Although the book is rooted in 18th century history, Levin's purpose is not antiquarian. He connects Burke and Paine to present-day arguments about reform, legitimacy, authority, and democratic change. Modern debates often repeat the same unresolved tension: should institutions be trusted as repositories of practical wisdom, or should they be reorganized when they fall short of abstract ideals? This gives the book ongoing relevance across issues such as constitutional design, social policy, and the pace of reform. Levin's framework is especially useful in a polarized political environment because it helps readers see why opponents often talk past one another. One side may be focused on correcting injustice and expanding equality. The other may be focused on preserving order and preventing unintended consequences. The book does not reduce either side to caricature. Instead, it shows that each contains a serious political logic, while also warning that each can become distorted when taken to extremes. That balanced treatment is part of what makes the book durable as political analysis rather than a polemic. Lastly, a readable synthesis of political philosophy, history, and civic interpretation, The Great Debate stands out because it combines intellectual history with clear public argument. Levin makes a complex 18th century controversy accessible. Without flattening its philosophical depth, readers interested in political theory will find a compact explanation of the Burke-Payne divide, while general readers will find a lucid account of why ideological language in modern politics remains tied to older debates about nature, history, freedom, and authority. The book is also valuable because it helps interpret political traditions instead of merely labeling them. Rather than telling readers what to think about conservatism or liberalism, it explains the inherited assumptions behind those traditions and the strengths and weaknesses of each. This makes the book useful for students, scholars, and informed readers who want a conceptual map of political argument. Its broader contribution is methodological. It teaches readers to look beneath slogans and policy disputes to the deeper ideas that shape political judgment. That combination of historical depth and contemporary relevance is what distinguishes it from simpler books about partisan conflict. In conclusion, The Great Debate is best suited for readers who want to understand political conflict at the level of first principles rather than headlines. Students of political philosophy, readers of intellectual history, and anyone trying to make sense of the modern left-right divide will benefit from its clear reconstruction of the Burke-Payne dispute. Its practical value lies in giving readers a better vocabulary for evaluating reform, tradition, authority, and institutional change. Instead of treating political disagreement as a contest between good and bad intentions, the book shows that many disputes turn on different assumptions about knowledge, method, and human limits. That perspective can make current debates more intelligible and less reactionary. What sets the book apart from many works in the same category is its ability to connect a classic historical argument to present political life without turning it into as simplified. Morality tale. Levin offers a framework for interpretation rather than a rigid program, which makes the book useful across ideological lines. Readers looking for a compact but serious guide to the roots of modern political identity will find it especially rewarding. If you would like to support Yuval Levin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.